Are you ready for new dimensions and countless possibilities today and for the future? It's an exciting new time, and the answers are out there. So join Mary Jane Popp as she explores the unique and unusual for a better life on Pop Talk in search of the truth. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
And here I am. Thank you so much, Mike. Hey, listen, we got a good hour here for you. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about AI, artificial intelligence. Where is it going? And how is it going to affect us? I honestly don't think anybody for sure knows how far it's going to go or what's going to be happening. But we'll explore that with an expert in the field, and I think you're going to have some fascinating stuff about that. But we also want to talk about our lives, our health. Where are we going with that? Because there are many questions that we have about, you know, what we need to do to keep healthy and happy and live longer and all the nine yards. Well, let's find out. And maybe we can do a little bit of a shake-up here, too. Rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat, don't tip the boat over. Rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby. Hey, we're going to rock the boat with a special guest tonight. I love the term live long and prosper, don't you? You know, from Star Trek. Well, if we have honest and well thought out information, I think we can accomplish that. That's why we check in with Dr. Earl Mandel. He's been trying to keep us healthy for decades. It really began with the original Vitamin Bible and some 59 health-oriented books translated into 34 languages, with the latest, the new Vitamin Bible. Now, Dr. Mandel is a pharmacist, anti-aging advocate, an internationally recognized expert on nutrition, vitamins, minerals, herbal remedies, and a really caring advocate for our health. Dr. Mandel, as always, it's a pleasure having you with us on Pop Talk.
Thank you, Mary Jane. It is wonderful to be on, and you're right. We could do a lot to live longer. In fact, I've got some healthy tips for you to use right now. You can actually use them today so that you can live to be 100 plus.
I love it. I love it. You know what? Why are we such an unhealthy country? We're unhealthy. We're like at the bottom of the list of health.
You're right. You're right. I mean, we're spending fortunes on sickness and very little on health. In fact, in the last couple of years, our life expectancy actually dropped. It went up a little bit, but if you're an average American, you're living to be about 78, which is pathetic.
Wow.
Considering that people in Singapore live to be 85 on the average. So we're way down the list when it comes to health. And we've got to wake up to the fact that our diet, our lifestyle, in general, is not very conducive to being healthy.
And hold on a second. I know what you're talking about because, you know, we've got drugs out the zoo. The commercials on television drive you nuts. And they don't even, sometimes you don't even know what the heck they're talking about, what disease or condition. And then go ask your doctor. Well, tell me what I'm supposed to have first, right?
Right. Well, I love those commercials because there's a few of them. One tells you the name of the drug. They don't tell you the side effects.
Yeah.
One tells you the...
Including death. Including death.
Well, one particular drug, you know, I'm a pharmacist, of course. The one particular drug that was taken off the market, put back on with a black box warning, and in the commercial at the end of it, three times it mentioned death different ways.
Yeah.
So, it's not helping us to take drugs because drugs, unfortunately, treat the symptoms of the problem. They don't really get to the cause. So here's some healthy tips to live to be 100 plus. And by the way, women have a much greater chance of living to be 100 plus than men.
Why?
Very few men. Well, because women live about 7 years longer on the average. A 100-year-old man is a very unusual situation. And we think that by the turn of this decade, whatever you want to call it, that 125, possibly even to 150, might be possible.
Wow, that's amazing.
But it's good shape.
Okay, you
good
said you've got some tips on what right. we can do to live that long. So let's go through some of those tips, because I'm taking notes.
Okay, well, some people are not going to like this, but I have to tell you.
Okay.
Don't eat fried, processed, or ultra-processed foods, which is not easy, because just about everything you see has been processed or ultra-processed. If you notice in a supermarket, I love going to supermarkets, they have things hanging up on by the checkout counter that have no expiration date. They're good forever. It's unbelievable.
How can they do that? What do they do? A bunch of chemicals, huh?
Because it's not real. It's not real food.
Ooh.
So the organism won't survive that. Organic food is the way to go.
Okay.
Some people say it's a little more expensive. That's true. But so what? This way you're not getting any pesticides, insecticides. You're not getting any artificial anything. So look for organic foods. And they're becoming much more available than they used to be.
Okay.
Here's another one. Eat meat as a condiment. Otherwise, it shouldn't be a 32-ounce or 16-ounce steak. It should be a very small amount. And try to eat fatty fish twice a week, such as mackerel, cod, halibut, bass, albacore, tuna, sardines, even anchovies. They're all fatty fish that are very important because they're a source of omega-3. And if you don't eat those fish, you can take an omega-3 fatty acid supplement on a daily basis.
Okay. All right.
All right. Half your plate should be veggies and fresh fruit. And I know what people... There's people that don't eat any veggies. I mean, it's unbelievable. So you got to go into it slowly. It's got to be some vegetable that you like. If you have to put some kind of a dressing on it or whatever.
Now, I have to interrupt because I got to ask you a question. Veggies and fruit, very important. But I was told that fruit you should have in the morning, and then the rest of the day should be more vegetables because fruit has sugar, and you really shouldn't have sugar at night. Is that true?
Well, you know, I don't think you should eat that close to bedtime anyway. But in general, you
How close?
About 2-3 hours.
Oh, come on. I got a snack on popcorn and a couple of things. I mean, geez.
Well, now popcorn's interesting. It's a good source of fiber, but the popcorn that we see, all GMO, and if it's store-bought, you're going to have artificial so-called butter flavor. I love that one. So if you get organic corn and pop it, that's a good idea.
Okay. Can I put butter on it?
Well, yeah. But try this. Olive oil. Have you tried putting olive oil on your popcorn?
It doesn't taste as good as butter.
It's an acquired taste. But I can just tell you this. It's one of the tips. If you drink 1 teaspoon of olive oil a day, you'll definitely live much longer. And we know that the countries in the world, the Greeks and Italy, that they start the morning off with a drink of pure olive oil.
The extra virgin or the regular?
Absolutely. Extra virgin. The less you have it processed, the better. All right.
Okay.
Nuts and seeds. Walnuts. Walnuts are wonderful, and so are almonds. These are very important. I could do a whole show on why the benefits of eating walnuts.
Now, how much? Because I take a handful of walnuts in the morning over my cereal.
Need.
Yeah?
Maybe 12 to 14 walnuts a day.
Okay.
And then drink. This is going to be wild, but drink clean water. I'm talking about water that has not been processed. Sometimes the water you drink has been processed 8 or 9 times before you.
So where am I going to find this clean water? Because I've heard of even some of the bottled water is not that clean.
Well, it's better. It's better than most. That's all I can tell you.
Do you use like a purifier or something on your?
You can. Yes, you can. You can get it, but you want to make sure there's some minerals left. Because if you don't drink water that's completely purified, because then there's there's no minerals, and the water actually leaches out the minerals in your body. And, of course, don't smoke. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I want to tell you something. People say, no, people won't be able to, they won't change their habits. That's not true. You know that only 11% of American adults smoke? That's unbelievable. It used to be, when I was a kid, everybody smoked. I mean, you didn't ask them. They all smoked. So we're talking about maybe there's 30-odd million Americans still smoking.
Okay.
If you stop smoking, well, if you're a heavy smoker, you're going to die 10 to 15 years before your time.
Really?
10 to 15 years.
Yeah, but you hear some of these people that drink and smoke, and they live to be 100.
That's right. All one of them.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's funny. You might hear, but for all the 99 other people that they died, they can't hear about them because they're dead. So if you smoke, you are, it's a death wish. Not only cancer, but heart disease, high blood, I mean, it's frightening.
What about secondary smoke?
Well, absolutely not. I think that we should, we are now pretty well, most places you can't go in. To a room or a hotel without with smoking. Secondary smoke. There's actually third degree smoke, too. But anyway, don't smoke. And I'm not talking about just cigarettes. I'm talking about everything.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay?
Yep.
All natural multiple vitamin and mineral. And they've shown that if you take a complete all natural multiple vitamin and mineral daily, you will not only live longer, but you will have a lot less problems, including mental acuity. So it's very inexpensive to take a multiple vitamin mineral, but look for one that's all natural.
But how do I know if it's all natural?
It tells you.
Oh, yeah, but they put a lot of things on labels.
No. If it's on the label and they say it's all natural, it better be, or else they could be sued.
Now, I think I told you this the last time, Dr. Mandel. I take so many vitamins, I rattle when I walk. So it's like, am I taking too much? Let me ask you.
Well, let's say this, Mary. I take about 40 or 50 different supplements a day.
Okay.
That's in my book, Dr. Earl Mandel's Vitamin Bible, is all about. It tells you what you need for your individual situation. But in general, most people are not getting enough nutrients. And like the next one I'm talking about is definitely the most important one you can take on a daily basis, and that's vitamin D3, the natural form of vitamin D. It's the best absorbed, and it's amazing. Every day they're finding out new things about vitamin D, which, by the way, is a hormone. It's not even a vitamin.
Vitamin D. There's been such controversy. I mean, when the pandemic hit, they were saying, take more vitamin D. It'll help. It's a sunshine vitamin, I know. And we can go out in the sun and get some of it, but not enough. But the thing is there a limit? Or can you take too much? Is it dangerous?
You can take nothing available without a prescription is dangerous. Only a physician can prescribe dangerous, deadly, or toxic substances. That's why they're on prescriptions. But, you know, just think, whatever it says on the label is fine. But I'm telling you, if we could get everybody to take 5,000 IUs or about 1.25 micrograms of vitamin D3 a day. I think we could close half the hospital.
No kidding. Now, but don't some people take, if they take too much, there is no too much of vitamin D?
Well, it is. Yeah, there is too much, but you have to take, about 500,000 units a day, which you wouldn't have time to do anything else.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
I mean, you got to be realistic.
Okay.
I mean, 125 micrograms for adults is a great idea. But see, the thing is, it takes about a year. It's unbelievable. It takes a year to build up that amount in your bloodstream.
Hmm.
So we don't just say take more when you have this or that. It's every day, and it gets better and better. See, the difference between vitamins and drugs is drugs over a long period of time have more propensity to have side effects such as toxicity, etc. While vitamins do do exactly the opposite. They get better as you get as you take them for a longer period of time.
Okay.
A side benefit, not side effect.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Here's something that you have not heard of. MSM. It's the methyl sulfonyl methane.
Mm-hmm.
Resveratrol from red grapes, grape wine. NAC. This is a precursor in the body to build up L-glutathione. I know these are wild words, but let me tell you something. L-glutathione is so important. The body produces it, but unfortunately, as we get older, less and less. So NAC helps the body produce more of this wonderful, very powerful antioxidant NAC. Then there's one called NAD, which also has anti-aging.
Okay.
The herb or spice called curcumin.
Okay. That's turmeric, right?
That's right. Turmeric or curcumin. It's well used in places like India, etc. Has wonderful effect. Anti-inflammatory, antioxidant. You see, we're not dying of old age. Very important to understand. We're not dying of old age. We're dying of all the diseases that are caused by improper diet, stress, smoking, drinking, whatever it is. So curcumin is a good idea to take. Now, here's a mineral that's starting to become bigger and bigger called magnesium. Yes, magnesium. And I recommend it very highly. In fact, if you have a heart attack, you come to the emergency room or the hospital, they're going to give you an injection of magnesium because there's such a lack of it in the diet. It helps you. It's wonderful to take at bedtime. It helps you sleep. It's a relaxant. It's an amazing mineral, and that should be taken daily. And once again, if you don't eat these fatty fish, such as cod, mackerel, halibut, albacore tuna, sardines, etc., and take an omega-3 fatty acid supplement. I take 1,000 milligrams, 1 gram capsule, and I take 3 a day.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Any more other tips? I mean, these are all good.
Well, I can go on. I can go on forever. But otherwise, if you get too many things, it'll say, I'm not going to do it. So start doing something every day.
Okay.
It's not that hard. It's really easy to do.
Okay.
And of course, how about exercise? Absolutely. Walking is a great exercise. It doesn't cost anything. But you will live longer.
Yeah.
Walk about 2 miles a day briskly, you'll live longer.
Okay. All right.
So those are some of the things that you can do.
How about water? I mean, you know, you talked about water.
Yeah.
And, you know, that should be clean water. But how much water a day? I mean, sometimes they go 8-10 glasses of water a day, but, you know, I'd float.
Well, here's what you do. Take your weight, divide it by 2, and that's how many ounces you need per day. So
holy
you weigh 150 pounds. Nobody weighs 150 pounds anymore. But anyway, the way women might, 150 pounds, that's 7.5, 8 glasses a day. But you're going to get some water in the food you eat. But in general, 8-10 glasses of water, and you can sip it. You don't have to drink it all at one time.
I would be in the bathroom all day. Yeah, come on. That's a lot of water.
Well, that's not such a bad thing. I mean, let's be realistic, that water is a detoxifying agent.
Okay.
It helps the body
flush the body.
All the toxins that we're putting in that we take. So I think a lot of people think that they're hungry. They really are dehydrated. And a glass of water will suffice instead of eating, and that'll help with your weight.
Okay. The other day, a friend of mine said, you got to start taking quercetin. Is that for anti-inflammation? Yeah?
Yes. Quercetin is another one. I mean, I only gave you a few, 10, 11 of them. But quercetin is another important nutrient. And once again, anti-inflammatory, you said the magic word. We're dying of inflammatory diseases. So it's natural for the body to produce the inflammation, but when it goes out of control, that's the problem. So you want to get, you want to take an anti-inflammatory like curcumin,
okay,
like omega-3, like quercetin on a daily basis to prevent that from going out of control.
Okay. All right. Keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Well, there's another one, and I think we talked about this before, but I think I should reiterate. It's hard to say it, but it's called astaxanthin. Remember that?
Oh, astaxanthin. Yeah, xanthin.
Nobody can pronounce it, so I just call it astaxanthin.
Okay.
Well, anyway, astaxanthin reduces the sun's damage. It's healthy for the brain. It's 770 times more active than CoQ10.
Really?
Yeah. It protects against oxidative distress to your brain. And also, it's 6,000 times more powerful than vitamin C as an antioxidant.
How much?
Antioxidants are the good guys. They help to neutralize the bad guys called radical oxygen molecules that can lead to degenerative diseases if they are out of control.
Wow. So how much a day of the astaxanthin? I take that.
12 milligrams. 12 milligrams is okay. What all the research has been done on a daily basis. That's what I take. By the way, it wards off wrinkles. It supports hormone health. And you won't believe your skin within 30 days.
Really?
Here's what I tell people. Today, a vitamin store or someplace that has or go online for astaxanthin 12 milligrams. Take a selfie of your face, and then a month later, do it again. You won't believe the skin is tighter, the lines and wrinkles start to go, the skin starts to glow. I mean, remember, the skin is the largest organ of the body.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So if your skin is healthy, you're healthy. So as simple as that.
Well, I got to tell you, I've been taking astaxanthin for years.
Yeah, so have I. And I get compliments on my skin all the time. Yeah. There's one other thing, too, that I did not mention.
Oh.
I think is important, and that is a probiotic.
Oh, yeah.
Probiotics are the friendly bacteria because we know that if you have a healthy gut, you have a healthy person. Simple as that.
All right, now I get really confused on the probiotic. I really do, because it's got one. This is 100 billion stuff, and this is another one, 300 billion stuff.
No. You can get a 30 to 50 billion probiotic that has 50 different strains of the probiotic. But
really?
It's a matter of just taking it on a daily basis, because, you know, there's that, we think there's a second brain in the gut. That's where that it came from, when people say, I've got a gut feeling. And it's connected directly to the major computer, your brain in the head. So healthy gut, very important.
Okay.
We would just do this. We're not taught. We're not taught about being healthy.
No.
We're taught about being sick. What you said before, you watch television one night, at the end of the night, you've got all kinds of these diseases.
No
one's ever heard of or that.
Yeah, I'm so depressed. I'm so depressed for the end of the night. It's like, I think I got that, and I think I have this one. You know, so it's amazing. Now, let's get them your website.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, let's give them your website.
Oh, I'm sorry, website, yes. You go on to drmindell.com, and you can become a free Facebook friend of mine.
Oh, yeah.
All my books are available on Amazon.com. Just type my name in. I have 65 books now.
Wow, that's amazing. Next time when we talk again, I want to get into herbs and minerals, because we really didn't get into that today.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Minerals are interesting. You cannot make a single mineral in your body. You can't make some vitamins, so minerals are important, and you're right. We'll talk about that. But drirwindell.com is my website, and you can go on it. I have the Mindell Health Minute that I do three times a week to get you right up to date on everything.
Fantastic. Dr. Mendel, as always, you're a good friend. We've known each other for a long time. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And I'll get back to you so we can set up another time, okay?
Keep up the great work, Mary Jane, and be well.
You too. Take good care. Once again, that's Dr. Earl Mendel, the new Vitamin Bible. I've got it sitting here, and I've been looking through it and everything. And, of course, you can go to his website. Coming up, though, we're going to be talking about AI. Where does artificial intelligence enter into our lives, and where are we going from here? I'm not sure we want to know for sure. Anyway, we'll find out. Stay with us. It's Pop Talk, and we do go in search of truth.
Calling all big thinkers. The world's climate is changing. These aren't new facts, but it means we must think in new ways about how we can live, prosper, and provide energy for our world while protecting our planet. Engineers are answering the call to create cleaner, safer, reliable energy. Solar power, harnessing the power of the sun to light all corners of the globe. Wind power, channeling a simple breeze to bring electricity to our homes. Hydro power, using the natural flow of water to generate electricity. Nuclear power, engineering advanced reactors that are safer, more reliable, and produce zero carbon emissions. Engineers are leading the way and empowering the next generation. Engineers answer the call. Brought to you by the National Academy of Engineering. Learn more at nae.edu.
More than 6 million kids in the U.S. have ADHD, and many aren't getting the support they need. At understood.org, we can help. Sometimes in class, the only thing your child can focus on are the thoughts racing through their head.
Why am I always falling behind? Why do I feel so alone? So different?
Your child is looking to you for answers. But as a parent, you probably have a lot of questions too. What should I do next? Where do I even start? At understood.org, we provide parents with the resources they need to help kids with ADHD thrive. Your child wants to thrive. Be the reason they do. Visit understood.org/the reason to get started.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's. The Parkinson's Foundation knows that the disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them.
If you or someone you know is living with Parkinson's, a neurological disease that affects movement, we understand that it can be difficult to know where to find help.
If you have questions, the Parkinson's Foundation has answers. Answers for everyone in the fight.
We can help you understand the disease.
Help you find expert care and local support.
Give you tips for living a better life.
And share the latest research.
Find your answers and join us in the fight against Parkinson's.
To learn more, please go to Parkinson.org.
Or call 1-800-473-4636.
That's 1-800-473-4636. The Parkinson's Foundation.
Better lives
together.
Oh boy, little by little we learn about what's happening in our world, don't we? But AI, artificial intelligence, there's been great excitement and some even greater concerns as AI becomes more integrated into our daily lives. So let's get to the inner workings and possibly the future part of our lives with Ed Wattel, founder and principal of Intellibus, an Inc. 5,000 top 100, I should say, software firms in Virginia. Now, he knows about AI and the future with deep IT knowledge. That's what we really need to have. Now, he actually built an ethical AI platform and a data commons for the world. And we're going to find out how that can help us to trust what we're listening to and hearing. Nice to have you with us, Ed.
Oh, Mary Jane, it's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. So define artificial intelligence. I mean, it could mean a lot of things, right? Not just, my Siri on my iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, artificial intelligence can have different meanings depending on who you talk to. You talk to an average person, it's kind of like the cloud. It's access to technology, which is more smart, rather than just the cloud where you throw your files. Mm-hmm. This is a machine you can talk to. And so it just gives so much power to the average individual. At the same time, if you have to ask a technologist, they say artificial intelligence is just the next evolution of machine learning. And machine learning has been there for a few decades, and it's been used across every industry, especially the financial industry, for a long time.
Well, we used to say, and when I say used to, could be maybe, 10 years ago, because we were talking about this even 10, 15 years ago. But we used to say, artificial intelligence is only as good as the programmer of the information that's put into the artificial intelligence. But now the question is, will that artificial intelligence then be able to develop to a point of making decisions on its own beyond what they're programmed to do?
So it goes a little bit into the idea of intelligence itself. And we have this theory that I teach at my class in NYU called RPG IQ, which is, I call it the RPG IQ theory of intelligence, and not to be confused, RPG not to be confused with rocket-propelled grenades, and IQ not to be confused with intelligence quotient.
Oh, okay.
But it's an interesting acronym that a lot of people appreciate. It's an acronym. It really stands for different types of intelligence and the orders of evolution of intelligence, if you will.
Okay, so how advanced and evolved are we?
So R in RPG stands for reactive intelligence, which is kind of, think of very basic intelligence that machines always we could program to do, much like the human, the baby kind of has reactive intelligence right when they are born, they carry it from the mother.
Okay.
So we can think of such natural intelligence that exists in evolution, the reactive intelligence, where things just react to things. They somehow have this innate intelligence, and software programming, we program systems to react and behave a certain way. So that's reactive.
Okay.
And then the next order of intelligence is what we can think of as predictive, which is, when a baby is born, the baby cries, he gets milk, and then, baby gets milk again. So baby knows, oh, crying gets free milk. That's being able to predict. And we programmed over the years machines to predict things.
Okay.
Whether it's predict the behavior in stock markets, what the stock price, opening or closing is going to be on a given day, or, how certain cars, would, go out of a lane or not, depending on, how you're steering them.
Okay. Then what?
And then the next order of intelligence is G for generative, which is essentially being able to take that knowledge, the prediction ability that we have learned and apply it to other things. For example, if you burnt your lips with hot coffee, you kind of know intuitively that hot milk or, any other hot item could burn your lips. And machines today have kind of reached that level of generative intelligence, if you will. So they can, to your point, the question you asked earlier, they can take the knowledge that they have derived in one area and then sort of derive the knowledge in another area. It's almost like being able to do, really, complex fill-in-the-blanks, if you will.
Uh-huh. All right. Are we still evolving to more?
So then there comes the question of I and Q, which is beyond the what I call beyond generative intelligence. I for intuitive intelligence, which a lot of people often will associate intuitive intelligence with just our ability to sort of predict the future, but it is a little more than that. Intuition happens in the gut for the humans. Intuition for machines, at some point, if the machines evolve to a certain level, would be their ability to know get a sense of self and have a sense of self-awareness and self-truth, which is a concept that often, you know, we as humans struggle with. So really, you know, intuitive intelligence is our ability to discover ourselves, understand ourselves as humans, and the same would imply for machines. So machines have to first develop a sense of self and have that intuitive intelligence. And then the next order beyond that would be quantum, which is the Q in IQ, which is quantum intelligence, which is our ability to, you know, understand the other. So, you know, Einstein called it spooky action as distance, or, you know, quantum theory calls it quantum entanglement. And as a human, you can just simply relate to it as how a mother or a parent knows, has a premonition about, you know, something being wrong with their child, about their child, even when the child is thousands of miles away. So that's really quantum intelligence in some sense.
What worries, doesn't worry me. I mean, I'm hoping that there will be enough concern that there will be laws or rules that you can follow. But, you know, when you hear things like, artificial intelligence coming up with soccer plays, nothing that was there before, they're thinking about the soccer plays themselves, brand new soccer plays, or chess moves. That's thinking, isn't it?
So it's interesting, you know, because thinking also implies, you know, Descartes or some great philosopher said, you know, I think, therefore I am. And so, you know, it just kind of goes back to also believing that, you know, someone can think, then they, you know, they exist and they can have a sense of self-awareness. But I think thinking can mean different things. Just the idea that when you perceive something, it seems as if it's thinking. You know, you could argue that when you ask a computer a question, even with no AI, and it responds back to you, just because it has been programmed to do so, it is thinking. But it's not really thinking in the sense of how humans think.
Yeah.
Humans have a sense of reasoning and rationality. But then, more importantly, you know, someone said, I think there was the book called The Art of Persuasion, where they said that all decisions are emotional and feeling-based. We just use thinking to rationalize our own decisions. So one could argue that, yes, I mean, that is thinking. But then, you know, it's not the human way of thinking or how humans think.
Do you think it'll ever get to the way humans think?
I think we're far away from that, and not because I'm a naysayer. I mean, I'm a big believer in technology. I want to push the limits of technology. And here is why, or how I think about this. If you think of, you know, what makes us human, is our ability to experience things with our physical body. You know, if I was just a ghost inside a phone, it would be a terrible life for me, and I wouldn't wish that for anyone. So, you know, even if we were to digitize our entire brain and just somehow put it inside a physical box or a device, and you imagine, you know, you woke up, it would feel like a Black Mirror episode, you're locked inside a box. So I don't think anyone would want that, at least in the short term. I think we like our physical bodies, you know, even though it gives us pain, it gives us pleasure. And the physical bodies give us the ability to sense things, and we have five different senses. The ability to see, hear, but more importantly, the ability to touch and taste and smell. And computers today don't do these three things. They see and they hear, but they don't touch, taste, and smell. So until, and not to a great degree, you know, some experiments may have been done in these fields, but until computers can truly begin to touch, taste, and smell, they wouldn't nearly be as human-like as humans are. So I think that boundary is still to be crossed. We don't even have those devices and interfaces yet.
Hmm.
To some degree, you could say haptic devices exist, they are touch, but not so much for smell and taste.
Huh. But what if you combined, now this is way out, but what if you combined what a computer does or some form of computer and some form of human?
So the cyborg hypothesis has been there for a while. We've seen it in movies, and, you know, we've seen a lot of people today sort of have prosthetics which are wired to their brain, and people who have had disabilities have gone through such solutions. So yes, we already do that. You know, that's cutting edge or has been cutting edge for a while. The value of AI, in my mind, is less about making us more mechanical in nature, but what some people call edit our biology. You know, the technology has been used to map proteins, map genomes, and more importantly, you know, personalized mapping of the genome and the biome, which is essentially, you know, all the bacteria that are there within the body.
Mm-hmm.
So as we get closer and closer to the mapping of the human genome and biome at a highly personalized level, and can understand the unique nuances. Almost 90% of the DNA is still untapped because it's called junk DNA. They are broken floating proteins within our cells and we don't understand them. So when we say we map the human genome, it's only 10% that we've actually mapped.
Yeah, it just seems like there's been so many advances. I can't imagine it stopping at this point, that it's going to keep growing. I mean, and some of the uses, don't get me wrong, are wonderful. I mean, for medical practice, the robotics that they're using on hip replacements and God knows what else, this is good. This is good stuff. But there's always that element someplace that wants to misuse this for terrible things, for weapons of destruction. That keeps in the back of my mind. There's always going to be an element out there that's not going to want it to be good for humanity.
Yeah, I think like any tool or technology that humans have ever invented, there's always that potential of, even the average knife in your kitchen, can be used for nefarious things, or simply for making a great dinner.
Okay. But now you mentioned, touch, taste, and smell. They would probably never be able to do that. But do you think they could ever reach then sentience?
So I think maybe not in the human way, unless, of course, we build machines that are more biological in nature. And there's a whole sort of research in that direction as well. So as more and more biological machines get created, which we maybe not vastly different from humans, so one could argue that you could grow a human in a lab somehow, like how cloning is done. There is a distinct possibility that there's a convergence of these sort of futures. I mean, if you watch movies like Transcendence with Johnny Depp, mm-hmm. you've probably seen some of this already, in terms of what the possibilities are.
Gotcha. Where do you, should there be some kind of law? But, the thing is, you can make laws and rules. We can have all the laws and rules in our country, but you have to deal with the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they may not follow the same rules or have the same, limits on anything. What do you think?
You're spot on. I think laws and rules and regulation are great. Obviously, they help us keep order. Otherwise, people would be driving on all kinds of ways on the road and we'd have accidents all day. So, yes. We do need some order. But at the same time, over-regulation has never helped. It's only people have always found ways around it. A simple thing like, paying taxes. If you increase the tax rates too high, people will find other ways to work around it. So invariably, people will find creative ways if they feel that it's unfair or it's stifling their growth or progress.
And then there's always the kind of more immediate thing of job displacement. I know jobs will be created in a different way, but jobs could be lost. I mean, if artificial intelligence can take over the job and not have to sleep and eat and make potty stops, why not? If I were a business, I don't know. Would you hire artificial intelligence over human?
I think it's already being done. Back in the day, I'm sure we would have been familiar with these robotic robocallers. You must have heard of
that. Oh,
yeah. Everybody's heard of that.
I hate those.
People would... you hit those, right?
Yep.
And now it's just so happening that it's just becoming more and more prevalent. And nowadays, earlier, those were being done only by spammers and people who tried to do something, negative or nefarious in nature, a little bit with marketing. But nowadays, that robocalling is coming into customer support or upsells. I'll give an example without naming a company. It was a bank. I called the bank because I have an account with the bank and they tried to upsell me right on the first phone call when I'm trying to activate my card. They're like, if you're over 50, press 1. And then you go press 1, and then, you're put into a different prompt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel like there's a human. Instantly, a human comes on. But that's not a human. That's a machine.
Yeah.
And then you know it instantly, and it's extremely annoying to a lot of people.
It isn't. Well, not only annoying, but they'll say, well, in a few words, I know you've heard this before. We've all heard it. In a few words, explain to us or give us information as to what you need. So you explain to them in a few words what you're there for. Then it's, Well, I don't understand. Could you reword that? You know, it's like, wait a minute. Give me a human so that they'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and so I would say one positive way to look at it would be that it is definitely a step forward from press 1-4, press 2-4, press 3-4. That, you know, really hard set of prompts that one had to go through.
Yeah.
This is definitely easier. You know, at least you feel like you're talking to a human. You don't have to keep punching buttons.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. But, you know, you hear these stories about voices that are mimicked of people, stars, and that type of thing. Well, you know, I've laughed on, and I've said this on the air before. I said, you know, you may be listening to Pop Talk with Mary Jane Pop, and it may not be Mary Jane Pop. It may be AI that sounds like Mary Jane Pop. That's possible, isn't it?
That's definitely possible. The only question is, you know, I call it the hypothesis of the indistinguishable reality. At some point in the future, you know, and back in the day, people used to call it the Turing test. Essentially, you know, when you're talking to a machine, can you as a human tell that you're talking to a machine and not to a human? And that's the question. You know, when machines really reach that level that you can't tell at all, or it's extremely hard for you to tell, is when machines really progress to a point which you could really call real artificial intelligence in some sense.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it looks, you know, 20 years ago, they would have said, oh, no, it's just a tool, and it'll be used for good things. But you know what? There's always that, you know, possibility that my privacy is gone. What about the ethical aspects of AI? How do you stand on that?
So I'm glad you asked this question, because one of the things I've been doing in the last year or so, I've been closely associated with this effort called World Digital Governance, WDG.org, that's the website. And what we are doing there is just building dialogue and conversation around these topics. You know, I've been obviously for the last decade associated with the BigParser platform that I think you mentioned in the introduction, which is an ethical AI platform. And that's just a different approach to solving the same AI, solution or problem, if you will, you know, creating higher orders of intelligence without, you know, millions of GPUs and tons of data that needs to be processed. Because intelligence is like you rightly mentioned in the beginning, you know, like computers, is garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
So if you feed the whole internet, you're going to get at the other side what the whole internet looks and feels like, which is a lot of bias, a lot of misinformation, a lot of duplicate information, which you can probably rationalize, but you're still processing tons of duplicate information. But imagine a clean, sanitized data set like a Wikipedia or a sanitized version of the internet, which is very clean, where all the information is organized in clean buckets of, you know, of data sets. And then that's what is fed in, so you'd have to, you know, do an order of magnitude less computation and probably have much better quality of intelligence as a result of that.
Yeah. I mean, as it is, we have the dark web where, you know, we've got the unscrupulous people who are selling your IDs, your credit card, your driver's license, your social security number. And, you know, with AI, it's going to be smarter than anything to get to all that. They don't even have to have a dark web anymore. And it feels like I'm being violated. You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. I think the time is there now for us to really take back control of our lives. And it's important for us to, you know, have a platform or some solution, potentially a global solution, which works across countries, which allows a consumer to ultimately own their data. Today, your data as a consumer is not owned by you. It's either owned by the government of the country that you live in, which may probably be okay, but it's also owned by tons of corporations that use that data. And often, you don't even have any right or control at some point on how that data is being used or misused or floated around. And so the probability of you as a consumer getting gamed and manipulated is extremely high, which is what we see through all, you know, the advertising that's pushed on us.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Do I want to go backwards? No. We're here. It's like the old saying, the cat's out of the bag. You can't put it back in. So, you know, and some of it is going to be very good. The medical fields, the, you know, a lot of information, but I don't want to get it to the point where the human equation can be taken out, and I don't want that. That's the one thing that I worry about. Don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, the human equation is extremely important, and then finding a mechanism where, you know, the rights, not only the rights, but privacy, but also the rights of the individual are honored. We saw very recently the issue that came up with the likeness of one of the actors being used.
Oh, yeah.
And despite her having denied, Scarlett Johansson, and said, you know, she had explicitly asked OpenAI not to use that, but they still somehow alluded to or used a similar voice.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, that's the problem. You can't fight it. How do you fight it? And not only voice, but the likeness. I mean, they finished movies when someone died during the filming of a movie, and they put an AI in there, and you'd never know the difference. You wouldn't know the difference because they would take. They can duplicate. It's unreal how they can duplicate. Well, what am I telling you? You know.
No, it feels unreal, and in some ways it's probably not the worst thing as long as it's done appropriately with the appropriate approvals of whoever is the inheritor of that person's estate. You know, if someone died, and today one of the projects that I'm working on, yet to be disclosed, is around digital legacy, where today we don't have a mechanism of bequeathing our digital likeness or digital legacy in any meaningful way, except through very complex regulatory processes.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if someone was to die, and how would you bequeath your Facebook accounts, your Instagram accounts, all your social media, all your email? How would you pass that on to the next generation, and how would you know that it was done properly?
Gosh. Well, do we just open up a little box, Ed, and here will be a hologram that will pop up, and it will talk to you and tell you everything you're supposed to do. That's possible, isn't it?
That is very much possible. I mean, I'm sure people are working on such ideas, and I've been closely associated with one such project as well. So.
And there are some things like, Holocaust victims, and there are stories that should go on because, and World War II veterans, they're all going to be gone. A lot of that should be in some form that the next generation or the 10 generations down can look back and see who these people were.
You say something very close and true to my heart, and something that I've been contemplating a lot about. In fact, I work very closely with the veteran community here in Virginia, and recently I was down in Dallas meeting with a couple of veterans, who've spent 20 plus years in the U.S. Army and so forth, and it's really interesting to see how much of the true stories or the truth is out there, but not even shared, not even documented.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of it.
Yeah.
So I definitely believe that AI, that's where AI could help us organizing, documenting this truth, and then making it easier for people to consume. Because imagine today, just think of a consumer's tool. You have thousands and thousands of videos on a given topic in YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There's no meaningful way for me to say, oh, let me pick this one topic and just watch every possible video on YouTube and all the useful stuff.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
That's true. Well, I hope you'll keep us posted. I'm going to check in with you every so often, Ed, and say, where are we now, Ed, and where are we going, if you don't mind.
Oh, you're most welcome. I teach at NYU, and I love to share whatever I know, and in the process of sharing, I learn more. So it's always exciting to be here.
You bet. Do you have a website, by the way?
The AI that I teach is called AI Masterclass, all one word.
Uh-huh.
Masterclass, as in MASTERCLASS, starting with AI. So it's AI Masterclass, all one word, .com.
.com.
So that's where I teach.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you as always, Ed, to just, keep us apprised of what's going on. I would rather know what's coming instead of it's here and all of a sudden I don't know what to do. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure the AI will give us enough notice, and there's enough good humans that I know of that are working to put enough guardrails so we don't get surprised as humanity.
You bet. Thanks, Ed, and you have a good day and take good care, okay?